we just simply asked them, what's the first face that pops in your mind when somebody says Christmas? And you heard all kinds of answers today. It was just kind of amazing when you hear those. You start thinking about it, and whoever's in charge of the marketing world has done a pretty good job at bombarding us with these images, these secular images, so that when Christmas is said, I mean, what does pop in your mind? We all know the right answer today because we're sitting in church, all right? And so it's not a secret what we're going to talk about today, but just when somebody says Christmas, I mean, what is the first image that pops in your mind? Maybe it is Santa Claus, or maybe it is Elf, or maybe it is, maybe it is Jesus, or maybe it is frantic pace, or hectic schedule, or stress of presence, or maybe it is a memory from your childhood. I don't know what really pops in your mind, but I know this. That it gets tougher and tougher every year to stay focused on the reason for the season, and that is Jesus. Last night, my wife and I, after a long, busy day yesterday, decided to sit down and watch some television, and this commercial comes on. And it is really, it's a sweet commercial. It's the pictures of the little babies. And anytime you have a commercial with pictures of little babies, you just kind of, you just want to go, oh, at the television. Oh, that's so sweet. That's so cute. And my son hates that word, cute. Especially when I say it. So, but anyway, we're looking at the TV and we're watching this commercial and it's rolling and they're singing Silent Night. Silent Night, Holy Night, the whole thing. And they skip, the round yon virgin, mother with child, and then they jump to the rest in heavenly, or sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly peace. And at the end, it was a Pampers commercial. And you get that in a minute, if you've got little babies and they're at home and they're wanting them to sleep in heavenly peace, and you sleep too all night long. And I thought, man, we'll do anything to take the focus off of Jesus. When you start thinking about the faces of Christmas, at the very first Christmas, the birth of our Savior, there were some faces of Christmas too. And what I want us to do this morning is I want us to take our Bibles and look in two passages, Matthew chapter 2, and then we're going to look at Luke chapter 2, real easy to find. But I want us to focus on this, and I want to look at, there are a lot of faces we could look at today, but I want to take a few minutes this morning to look at five faces of Christmas. Five faces that really get our attention from the very, very first Christmas. And as we look at them, what I want you to think about is this: is there any of them in me? I mean, is there anything that I see in them, anything that we're hearing in them that's really in me? Is their face in my face as we look at Christmas and the Christmas story? And we're going to start in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 2. And we're going to spend 2 points there, and then we'll look at the last five faces in the Gospel of Luke chapter 2 as well. And the first one is really kind of negative, to be honest with you, but it's a really great place to start because it kind of sets the temperature for the day. It's really a face of disgust. It's hard to imagine that a baby could be born, and in the middle of that scene, and in the middle of this story, there could be this face of disgust that a baby was born. His name is Jesus, King Jesus, in fact. But that face is the face of Herod the Great, the first of many Herods that played a role in the life of Jesus. But I want you to look in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 2, And look down in verse 3. It says this: when Herod the king heard this, when he heard about the birth of Jesus, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. In other words, I think this is really, a point where he was stirring up a lot of trouble. I mean, he was really troubled. He was terrified. He was disgusted that somebody was coming to his city, the city of Jerusalem, and saying, "Where is the king of the Jews?" And everybody stirred up because Herod stirred up. You kind of get this picture. You've seen people like that. When they're troubled, they make sure everybody else is troubled. When they're in a bad mood, everybody's in a bad mood. They're just going to make it that way. And that's exactly what's going on here. Herod is so troubled. He is so bothered by this whole scene. He's so disgusted. He's making everybody sick. And it says this: and assembling all the chief priests and the scribes, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, he's brought the religious leaders and the so-called lawyers of the day who knew the Old Testament law, and he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. He says, where is this going to happen? We've got Magi coming from the east, probably from Persia. We'll talk more about them in just a minute. And they've come to see this King of the Jews. And so he gathers the religious leaders, the lawyers together, everybody that knows stuff. And he said, hey, I want you to tell me what's going on here. And what about this King of the Jews? And they told him he was to be born in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet. And it gives Micah chapter 5, verse 2. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people. Now, here's the question. You know, even being a king, ruling over this group of people, why was Herod so disgusted? Why was he so threatened by this whole scene, this birth of the Savior? And what I want you to think about is this. I want you to think about, is there any of this in me? Is what's going on in Herod's life, is there any of this in me? I think there are a lot of people, when they think about Jesus, struggle in some of these same ways. One reason I think that he had this spirit, this face of disgust, was because it threatened his world. I mean, he was really concerned because he didn't want anything to stir up his world and get him in trouble. And so he had everything just like he wanted it. He wanted to continue to stay in control of it. He had everything worked out like he wanted it. He knew if all of a sudden there was a king being born, it would change everything. And he didn't want his world changed. You know what really comes to talking about Jesus and you start sharing with people the gospel of Jesus? A lot of people react with disgust, maybe not overtly, but in their own hearts, because they don't want a new king. They don't want a new Lord. They don't want anybody sitting on the throne. They want to be king of their world. And they know that if Jesus comes in, everything changes. Second thing that I think that we see here is that he saw Jesus as a threat to his own throne. You know, you start thinking about this for a minute. This is really, really a very, very different scene. Herod worked to get his position. Jesus is born as king. And these magi, these people that watched the stars who came from Persia, now we're saying there is one who was born a king. And so he's like, man, this is crazy. I don't want anyone to threaten my throne. I don't want anyone to threaten my position. I don't want anyone to change my life. And then the third thing was this. I think that he saw Jesus as a threat to his intellect. He really couldn't understand this and understand how this could happen. How could anybody be born a king? And you know what, today, maybe we're not thinking about the king thing, but I think we are thinking about some other things. I mean, how could Jesus be born of a virgin? How could God actually come to live on this earth as a man? And then how could God actually die for mankind and give us eternal life? I mean, when you start asking those questions intellectually, they are very, very challenging. And it doesn't say that we shall live by our intellect as righteous people. It says we shall live by our, what? Our faith. You see, in a lot of ways, this birth of Jesus painted a face on Herod that was really, really sad at this time of the year. It was a face of disgust, a face of trouble. The good news is he's not the only face that's painted at Christmas time. You see, another thing that we find in Matthew chapter 2 is the face of worship. It's the face of the Magi. If you look back in chapter 2, verse 1, it tells us a little bit about them. It says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, and this is really cool, because what they're doing is, you know how the whole story goes, and they followed the star, and they came to Jerusalem, and they're going around town. And this, the way this word is used, this word saying, they were repeating this over and over again. They were going everywhere in Jerusalem asking this question, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. So they were going around everywhere in Jerusalem asking this same question. All right, where is the king of the Jews? Where is this one who was to be born? We have followed his star. And by the way, this wasn't a supernova. This wasn't an odd constellation of the planets. This is a very, very unique supernatural event where God used his creation to proclaim the birth of the Savior, Jesus. And they followed the star. They came to Jerusalem. They're asking everybody. And that's how Herod found out, is the rumor mill started happening and everyone started talking about it. And Herod, it reaches the ears of Herod and he becomes troubled and disgusted. But skip over to verse 9. In chapter 2, and listen to this. It says, after listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Really, really cool story. These guys come a long, long way following a star on the promise of a king. Now, their understanding of Old Testament prophecy went all the way back to the time of Daniel. And so these people in Persia were not ignorant to the scriptures. And when they saw the star, they knew something unique had happened. And this promised king of the Jews was coming. And so they traveled all of this way from Persia to Jerusalem and then to Bethlehem, following the star all the way to the house where they saw this baby Jesus. And these wise men brought these appropriate gifts to the king. Out of their treasures, they gave to the king and they worshiped him. I mean, is that not phenomenal? Is that just mind-boggling that grown men, wise men, intellectual men, schooled men would travel all the way following a star, they would see the baby, they would know immediately that the prophecy of the Old Testament was fulfilled and this baby was born, and their reaction was to bow down and worship him and give him gifts. This is amazing. But it's a great face of Christmas, isn't it? And one challenge I would give you, and I know it's been really, really busy. In fact, let me just ask you a question. How many of you have to shop tomorrow? How many of you still have to shop tomorrow? Okay, there's a few that we need to pray for today before we leave, okay? There's a few folks that are just really, really in bad shape. How many of you have not done any shopping yet, okay? Now, I'm not talking you got your wife to do all your shopping for you, okay? You know, but there's some people that haven't done any shopping yet, and some people wait till the last minute to go shopping. You know what? In the hectic pace of this season, You know what happens to us? We forget to worship Jesus. This thing is all about Jesus. And you know what? It doesn't have to get lost. I think these guys were pretty worn out by the time they got to Jesus. They've been traveling from Persia. They've been asking everybody. Nobody wanted to tell them. The king got mad at them. I mean, they're stressed out. They're following the star. It finally rests. They come to a baby. I mean, they could have said, listen, man, this has just been too hectic of a season. This is crazy. And all there is this little baby in this little house. This is crazy. But they didn't. They focused on Jesus and they bowed and they worshiped him and gave him gifts out of their treasures. Man, let's don't lose that. I mean, what a face of Christmas, isn't it? And one challenge I would give you is when you get together with your family this year, don't forget to include in your celebration the time of worship. Now, it doesn't mean that you have to gather around the piano and sing if you can't sing, okay? You don't want to make everybody sick. But I do want to tell you this. You can worship with your family if it simply is getting everybody together, open up the Bible, and reading the Christmas story, either from Matthew 2 or Luke 2, and just talking about Jesus. Loving on Jesus. It's a face of worship. Now, I want you to turn over to Luke chapter 2. And this is another one of those moments that we all hear about and we've read about, and we may have read about them thousands of times, but it's just great, great, a great, great story. Look in verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And this is just, the whole story is just amazing as you think about the birth of Jesus, the God in human flesh being born on this earth. Now, just outside of town, in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field where they should be, keeping watch over their flocks in the middle of the night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and a baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God, for they had heard and seen, for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Now, this is the face that I see in the shepherds, the face of wonder. The face of wonder. The face of amazement. You know what? And I think maybe for those of us who've been believers for a long time, maybe since childhood, we just need to get back to having a little bit of wonder at this whole amazing story of the birth of the Savior. You know, I can remember in one of the trips going speaking somewhere, seeing I have a little kid with his mom get on the plane, and everything in the plane was just amazing. It was just amazing. I mean, the little air thing that air blows down on you was just amazing. The little light that came on was just amazing. Looking out here in the engines was amazing. The whole takeoff was amazing. The flight was amazing. The landing was amazing. And the whole time I'm thinking, just wait till you grow up. The amazement will go away. The wonder will cease. I wonder if it ever did for the shepherds. I wonder if that night ever faded in their minds or in their hearts, or if it was just so spectacular and so amazing that the wonder never left their faces. You know, for those of us who are believers, if you think about the face of Christmas, it ought to be a face of amazement, a face of wonder. The majesty and miracle of God's love for us, that he gave his son, he was born on this earth. I mean, that's phenomenal, isn't it? That's incredible. That's what God did. And we should never, ever get over it. The fourth face, don't you see, is buried right in the middle of this story. It's down in chapter 2, verse 17 and 18. And you probably read right past it. And I have many, many times. Why don't you listen to this? It says, "And when the shepherds saw this," when they saw the birth of Jesus, "they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child." In other words, they went everywhere. They told everybody. They told everybody in Bethlehem. They told everybody in Bethlehem what they had seen and what they had heard, what they had experienced. And it says, "And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them." You know, there's a lot of ways to read that. You know what? I think it's just the face of disregard. I don't really know if that's true. They just wondered. The contrast is the reaction of Mary. She pondered all these things in her heart. She took them to heart. The crowds just listened, and they just wondered. And there's a bunch of shepherds. They're out in the field. Who knows what they were doing out there? I mean, is this really, really true? They just wondered about all the events that they've been told. It's just the face of disregard. In other words, you just kind of go through the motions. Just another story, another belief, another religion, another thought. And you know what? There are a lot of people today with that face of Christmas. In fact, I don't really know if the stores are open this morning, but if they are, you could get in your car and leave here and drive to Jonesboro Road or to the mall, and you'd find a lot of people who might quickly tell you on a video this is all about Jesus, but their life would tell you their view of Jesus is just one of disregard. This is all about me. Man, that's amazing, isn't it? Just some quick faces of Christmas. Now, here's the most amazing face of Christmas. It's the face of love. And this is a part of the story that we just forget about because it's kind of at the end. But I want you to look down, if you will, in chapter 2, in verse 22. And I want you to listen to this. This is just amazing. This is a time that when a lady gave birth to a son, she was considered unclean for 40 days. And then she was to come to the temple. And this is exactly what Mary and Joseph do. "At the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses. They brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two pigeons." You know what that just lets us know? That they were the poorest of the poor. They were just among the poor. They could even give the formal offering. They gave the poorest offering they could give. "Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel." This is kind of a prophetic statement buried in the Old Testament. "And the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, the Messiah. And he came in the Spirit into the temple when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law. And he took him up in his arms and he blessed God and he said," now listen, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. According to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simon said to them and to Mary his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, for a sign that is opposed, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts be revealed. Now listen, in the same experience, in verse 36, there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years. She was old, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, then as a widow until she is 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping and fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who are waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. In other words, guess what? They got to see the face of Jesus. The face of love. The greatest picture of love the world has ever seen. Now listen, this is the face I want us to think about this morning. We may not, in fact, we will not, be able to step into Simon and Anna's shoes and see literally the face of Jesus. But you know what? Because we know him, we can be the face of Jesus by being the face of love.
I've seen your face on stained glass and color lights and pictures of you looking to the sky. You've been portrayed a thousand different ways, but my heart can see you better than my eyes. 'Cause it's love that paints the portrait of your life. The face.
His face changed our lives. And let's let our face change the world. Let's stand and pray.